Much. It's getting higher.
All right. Yep. All right. Well, I'm going to call the meeting to order. Start a little behind here, so we'll move right along. Well, if I can get a motion to approve
I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes of the November 5th meeting.
Any discussion?
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
All right. Well, we will move right along here. We have a couple presentations. We'd like to start with Tri-County Community Partnership. A couple good friends of mine, constituents, down in the Walker Valley area, and who are doing some good work in the fight against the opioid crisis, as we all know. That's been a real problem here in Ulster County and throughout the country. And, without any further ado, I will allow you guys, go forward, introduce yourself.
Great.
Tell us a little bit about your program.
Excellent. I'm Bethany Ganley, and I'm the board secretary for the Tri-County Community Partnership.
I'm Jim Waterman, also on the board, one of the co-founders of the TCCP.
So just a little bit about us. We've been established for the past 2 years. We just celebrated our two-year anniversary as a drug-free community coalition. We started off very small. You may, if you're anywhere down in our area, have recognized our first logo, which had this very odd-looking Shangam Ridge thing going on here for a while, and we were the Greater Pine Bush Partnership. But then we found that most people were associating us with just the Pine Bush area. So we went through the craziness of changing our name to the Tri-County Community Partnership, which is why Craig thought maybe we can go up here and talk to you guys, because part of our catchment area is in York County as well. We do focus pretty much on the Pine Bush School District, which is 180 square miles, and it hits all three counties, Orange, Albert, Sullivan, and Ulster. So I'm going to share these with you guys. These are our new palm cards. So if you guys want to take one of those, that gives you a little bit of a kind of an idea of what we do. But we started 2 years ago when one of our local community members decided that she was going to host a Narcan training at the Bullville Firehouse in Orange County. And she figured maybe she would get 50 or 60 people, and over 200 people signed up to be Narcan trained. She followed that up with a second one that Jim and I went to, and within 1 week of being Narcan trained, Jim utilized his kit and had a Narcan reversal and saved someone. So at that point, we realized how serious it was. I'll be honest with you, I've been a school teacher at Pine Bush High School for 28 years. I knew in my periphery that heroin and opioids were a problem, but my area of expertise is, alcohol, cigarettes, marijuana, because that's pretty much what you see at the high school level, and prescription drugs, prescription pills, which is a whole other issue as well. So we got involved in the Tri-County, what was the Greater Pine Bush Partnership, and we started doing some community education. I'm an English teacher by trade, Jim's a first responder, so we started holding some community forums and doing some Narcan trainings. We got involved in sharing the education and prevention message through some kind of neat initiatives. Every Super Bowl weekend, this will be our third Super Bowl weekend, we invite a bunch of pizza places to sticker their pizza boxes with some real positive statistics, because we don't want to always be like the doom and gloom group. Mm-hmm. So, you'll open up a pizza box from one of many pizza areas, pizza places on the Super Bowl weekend, and it'll say something like, 75% of high school kids never have tried marijuana. And then it says, have a slice and talk with your kids.
Just a conversation starter.
A conversation starter. We partnered up with Buffalo Wild Wings last year, so it's kind of corny, but it says, don't wing it, know what's going on. It's got some little statistics in there, too.
I think that's very effective.
It is.
I like that.
It's fun, and it's just, again, there's so much doom and gloom out there. We want to accentuate the positive that there are a lot of kids that aren't doing it, but that it's a conversation that every family needs to have. Because as all of you know, sitting here, it knows no boundaries. Drug addiction knows no boundaries. So we got involved in the I Promise campaign. So we did a really big push right around prom time, where every kid that bought a prom ticket got a little safety reminder and the phone number of a cab on the back in case they got into a position where they felt uncomfortable with their ride home. And Stewart's was very generous in Pine Bush, giving us all free ice cream for everybody who came in after the prom. They could get a free ice cream or, the next day, whatever. We got involved in the social host law. For every senior that picked up their cap and gown, we had information about the new social host law, so parents would know that it's it's not okay just to take the kids' car keys anymore. You really can't have that happening at your home. And then probably our biggest thing was the paddle run that we did last June, the Brock Haney Ethan Beck paddle run, where we had over 100 kayaks and canoes in the water. And then afterwards, we had a big celebration, and it was a great fundraiser. We are completely and totally unfunded. So everything we do is donations, fundraising. I have to say we're very proud of what we've accomplished with very little. We did apply for the Drug Free Communities Grant, and we didn't win it, if you will, this first year. There's a scoring rubric, and we haven't gotten our actual package back yet, but we've learned that we've scored 87 points, and that those who were awarded the DFC scored 90. So we know we're right there. Mm-hmm. So we're anxious, you know, like as a teacher especially, I'm anxious to get my project back and see where I lost points. So we're hopeful.
And how much did you apply?
Well, it's actually the DFC grant is a 6-year grant. It's $125,000 a year, mm-hmm. renewable for the 5 years and then the 6-year extension. The only problem with the DFC grant is it's very limited, and because it's youth-based, it's limited to alcohol, tobacco, and marijuana, really. So any of the opioid stuff that we do, that we're very passionate about, we're still unfunded. So all that money is earmarked, and very specifically earmarked for that category. So we're always, you know, looking to get as much information out there as we can about the opioid crisis, because we're nowhere near peak yet, which is very frightening. Our local Rotary gave us a grant. We have an initiative now called Put a Lid on It, where we have timer caps with a little digital clock on the top. So if you have a narcotic drug in your home, and perhaps either an elderly patient or somebody like me who doesn't remember what I'm doing from 1 minute to the next, it will tell you the last time the cap was opened. So if you know that you can only open it every 4 hours, and all of a sudden you look at it and you go, wait a minute, that cap was open an hour ago, either you're not paying attention or someone was in your home getting into your medicine cabinet. Mm. So that's another, those are going to be distributed to our senior housing in our Tri-County area, and our pharmacist, Rite Aid in particular, has been very proactive in saying that they would hand one out with every narcotic prescription that they give out. So that's another initiative that we're working on. What else? I have my little cheat sheet here. We have just funded the SAD program at Pine Ridge High School. Craig, I think when you were a student there, SAD might have been there, and way back in the day when Craig was young and I was still old, because I was teacher, Mr. Lopez was Pine Ridge. And I know.
Very young teacher.
I love you so much. I'm coming to every meeting you ever have the rest of my life. So it was Students Against Drunk Driving. Now it's against Students Against Destructive Decisions. Well, it was cut out of the budget many years ago, and we were able to fund two advisors. So they've become very active this year at the high school, and they're doing a lot of really cool youth-oriented stuff.
Which goes back to the paddle run. Some of the funds that we were able to raise out of that was used to fund SAD. Also with the grants.
Absolutely right. Okay, I'm trying to help you out here. I'm like, where are you going, buddy? And then our newest thing, and I'm sorry, we literally have ran out of these, so I just wanted to please whoever would like one, take one, and I will send some. I kind of happen to know where Mr. Lopez lives, so I can stick some in his mailbox.
Oh, absolutely.
You want one too?
Good. This is our newest initiative.
And Kathy.
Thank you.
Which we're very excited about. The state of Michigan started, it's a PARI organization, Police Assisted Addiction and Recovery Initiative, and it's called Hope Not Handcuffs. And in the state of Michigan, they have over 79 police departments that are involved in this initiative. We are the first New York State-based Hope Not Handcuffs. We just found out that we were approved about 3 weeks ago, and we'll be working at the moment with the town of Walk Hill Police Department. We're expanding on their Walk Hill Cares program, and in a very short nutshell, as long as you don't have an outstanding warrant, you can walk into the town of Walk Hill Police Department. You can be, at the moment, using drugs. You can have drug paraphernalia with you. You just have to say that you want help. And we have 33 trained angels at this point that will, one will come that evening, will sit with that person, make sure that they've eaten, make sure that that they're feeling supported. And we have trained volunteers that will be going through the insurance paperwork to help them find an immediate placement bed. The program, and I was just reading about it in one of your articles, where Pete Volkman, this is actually was kind of based on the Chatham Cares for You program, and so we've been trained by Chief Volkman, and we're very excited. So that's going to be starting. Well, it's actually we did our kickoff. It should be, you know, if someone were to call that number that's on the bottom of that palm card, they will be directly placed with a trained advisor, and they can walk right into the town Walker Police Department and have a look. You can find a replacement bed someplace. So that's kind of what we've been doing. In the last 2 years. Did I leave?
No.
Anything out?
Are you registered with Oasis? As a,
We are.
So you're an alcohol awareness program through Oasis, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We are registered through Oasis. We are a 501c3 nonprofit. We are also incorporated, so we've taken care of anything we could think of.
So if the county were to put out a bid for an awareness type program, you could potentially bid on that work.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And again, our reason really for coming here tonight is that there is a portion of your county that is directly affected, you know, in our catchment area. And so, you know, we're very focused on the Pine Bush area, and we've started evolving our way down to the Wallkill area, but there's this whole section up here that that we know needs addressing, and we wanted to come tell you what we do.
Most people don't even realize that Southern Ulster County is in
Ulster
County.
Absolutely,
it was associated with Orange all the time.
With the independent living centers,
we do. We have a and I'm so sorry that I didn't bring it. We have a long list of groups that we have memorandums of understanding.
Yeah,
but they are one.
Yeah.
We work with RC Ward. We work with. We just started a new initiative with ORMC for data collection. And data collection, ORMC will be turning over all of their opioid overdose awareness data to us so we can start disaggregating the information and looking for hot spots in the area so we know maybe where to focus some of our stuff.
So other hospitals as well to join in so we have an idea of where. Like she said, the hotspots are going to be.
Right, yeah, but ORMC has just come through. It is working very closely with us. I'm just trying to think if there's anything else that that I'm missing in this quick presentation. So
no, that's
if you
great.
Have questions, please.
Laura, did you have something? Or?
Do you know what.
Oh, it's okay.
You've heard of the BARI program?
Yes.
Do you know what the difference is?
The PARI, as in the police
assistant.
This is actually, I'm Hope Not Handcuffs, is a PARI-sponsored program. So PARI started, and then FAN, which was Families Against Narcotics in Michigan, was the one who started the first Hope Not Handcuffs. And then, again, they're in 79 police departments in Michigan. We are the first in New York State. Schenectady also got approved, so they're the second in New York State, but they're not in any other states. But it's a PARI initiative. That's where it started.
Because I was involved with Woodstock Police Department, did the PARI. But they disbanded it.
Yeah.
So, but I was one of the angels.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So,
that's wonderful. And I'm so sorry
trained.
To hear that they
I know, me too.
It.
Me too.
Because
we still need angels, so.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, depending on where you are.
Yeah, we still need angels.
Yeah. But, you know, our hope eventually, obviously, is to spread out amongst different police stations, you know. That would be wonderful. That would be ideal. And we know that there's a stigma attached. There's not a lot of drug users that want to walk right into a police department. Normally, it's a very abrasive relationship between the two. So we're hoping that our angels will be able to buffer that.
Mm-hmm.
I know that here in Ulster County, the difficulty's been at the district attorney level. So, you know, the district attorney will argue that he's the chief law enforcement officer in the county, and that a police chief can't make determinations whether that someone gets arrested or not. That's his call.
Yeah.
So that's the give and take that happens. And I think it's what hurt Woodstock and hurt some of the
other people. Yeah, I'm not going to say that we haven't bumped heads a few times with our district attorney as well, because it is a lot easier to arrest your way out of the problem, because then you can take care of it, a little bit of paperwork, and you don't have to think about it anymore. I will say that we have a little bit of an advantage, I guess, because our district attorney's wife works for ADAC. So she's part of the Alcoholism and Drug Abuse Council. He's the DA. So I think that there's an I'm imagining there's interesting dinner table conversations between the two. So I think that that's helped our push a little bit, because she's really been instrumental in getting behind us with a lot of our different programs. We just hosted the Red Ribbon kickoff for Orange County at Pine Bush High School, and she was very involved with that. So that may have helped us a little bit, but our own local police department was not very interested. So we ended up, town of Wallkill was. Now it's still the same catchment area, but...
See, Saugerties is not. Mm-hmm. Woodstock was, so I was involved with Woodstock.
Yeah, exactly. So you know our pain. We hold our meetings above, upstairs from the town of Crawford Police Department.
And it was really interesting, too, because I took training with some of the police officers.
Hmm? And Shongham?
Not yet.
Not Shongham yet.
We're hopeful that that'll be our next one, so we started with one, because we're afraid of getting very overwhelmed. Although, to date, we have 33 trained angels, so we're really excited about that. But it's a pretty daunting task. And you know,
because there's so much involved in being an angel, like, you know, boundaries and what, you know, and just the dynamics of the whole thing, how you have to really set boundaries, because you could, you know, usually when you volunteer, you're that person that wants to fix everything. So you got to be careful to not. Yeah, it was
absolutely
very, the training was really good.
Yeah. And it's very intense. And I am trained. I don't know if I'll be the right person to do it. So I think I'll probably go to my first one, because I am a fixer and I'm an English teacher, and I'm the one who the kids come to at lunch when they've been dumped by their boyfriend, and I may not be the person to be an angel. So I agree with you 100%. It takes a very special person to be able to set that boundary and say, okay, we can get you through it, but no, we don't need codependency either. So that's pretty much what we do. So we brought our cards with us in case you have any questions that you think of.
We can always get more information to you if you drop it off if you want.
Definitely.
Yeah, I'd like to get more Hope Not Handcuffs cards for these guys. But we'd really love to be of any assistance to you as well. If you think of things that we can do as a partnership, you know, events you'd like us to table up.
We're involved
at
Hope Rocks. Did you go to Hope Rocks?
No.
It's a music event that in August, it'll be the third year.
Oh.
It's a music and art, it's for suicide and addiction.
Oh.
Where's that at?
So, Cantine Field in Saugerties. But Mike Ferris, who's a in recovery Grammy Award winner.
Yep.
He came and played.
Wow.
And it's a free event. So.
And that's in the summer?
It's August. It's around the 20th.
Okay.
The weekend of the 20th. Well, unfortunately, it's the same weekend as Woodstock.
Of course it is.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna just put that down. I'll look into it
because
sounds like something that we would love to table.
And I can get
at
Craig information because I'm involved with that.
Yeah.
Great.
So it's
awesome.
It's getting big. They had 3,000 the first year. They're up to 4,500, and we had a terrible rainstorm at noontime on Saturday, which kind of messed up the whole day, and we still had 4,500 people.
Wow.
So.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So
that's wonderful. Yeah, that's definitely.
Nice turnout.
I'll look into that too.
4,500. Yeah.
And that's our belief. The more we can get our name out there, the more people know that there's a place to go for information. You know, we table and present at just about anything we're ever asked to. I'm sure we'll be there because, you know, people need to know they're not in it.
And maybe there's other groups you could partner with that you don't. Like, are you involved with Ryan?
Mm-hmm.
Raising Your Awareness Against Narcotics? Uh-oh. They had Daryl Strawberry, Chris Herron.
Chris Herron.
They brought
Chris Herron and Ellenville.
Yeah.
And again, because, and as I'm sure you know, Chris Herron is extraordinarily costly to bring in.
Yes.
So
yes.
For us, that was something that was far out of our reach at this point. We did go and watch him, but it was, you know, that's the kind of thing that ultimately we would love to be able to sponsor and put on.
Cool.
We'll have to hook you, get you information with Carol Kelder, because her son died of an overdose.
Okay.
Three years ago. She's the principal of the Mount Marion School in Saugerties.
Okay.
And her and her husband and daughter started this group right afterwards, and they've been phenomenal, raising money.
That's awesome.
And they were able to bring Chris Herron and Daryl Strawberry.
That's awesome.
So
that's really awesome.
Yeah.
And that's, again, that the more contacts that we can
make,
the
partnerships we can make, because it doesn't have to be like, you do this and we can't do this.
Absolutely.
The village.
You're absolutely 100% right. Yeah, absolutely right. So that's...
Sometimes groups tend to be territorial. This is not an issue that we need to, you know.
We have bumped into that a couple of times as well. And I have to agree with you. We're all fighting for the same thing. It's not a competition.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know. So
I'm just going to want to win it.
Yeah.
Very good.
Agreed.
Well,
that's good. Now we know a little bit more, and that's what
great.
I wanted to do. And that's where it starts. So, and anything that we can do to help, I'm sure we'll have the discussion. We'll speak with the executive as well. It looked like Ken Cornell. He's the deputy executive sitting in here. He seemed to have an interest in it as well. So,
great.
Yeah, no, may we'll work together in order to.
Excuse me. Hope Rocks had an event down at the Falcon.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So again, all these, any connections that you have that you think that would, obviously work for us, and in any way that we can help you, please let us know.
I'm actually just here to present like you are.
Oh, okay.
But I run the Independent Living Center here in Ulster County in Kingston.
Hi, I'm Bethany Ganley. It's a pleasure.
I checked your card. I see an MOU that we can do to help you get services for your individuals who live here as they're beginning to try to get on their feet.
Wonderful, terrific. And like we said too, if there's anything you think of, our cards are here. We'll leave these here for you guys. Please take our cards and reach out to us. We have a Facebook page that's very active. We have a website, and there's a couple of videos on there that sort of show you what we've done for the last 2 years. Might give you a little bit better idea of what we do. And if there's anything that you think of or questions you have, please don't hesitate to reach out to us.
Cool.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
I'm going to come hang out here. This is horrible. It's my first time in Kingston. Is that like I don't live under a rock? I swear to you, I really don't.
Down that way.
It was so funny.
Yeah.
We got here early.
People from Kingston
around.
Don't come down to us either.
It,
so
it
gets,
so
I know. That's what they said. Yeah.
Yeah.
We were out taking pictures. It was so pretty.
Totally
so
forget about
down
us
down
in Southern Ulster. Yeah. They kind of congregate someplace in between, but. Never all the way.
Well, the lovely security guard downstairs told us which direction not to go, so we feel that we're very safe.
Who's that, Steve?
Go
is
one
Steve
way,
down there,
not
right?
the other.
I don't know.
Maybe not.
Don't go that way.
Don't go that way.
There you go.
All right.
Good.
Have a great night.
Take care, guys. We'll be in touch.
Sounds good. Good night.
Good night.
All righty. Looks like everybody left.
Yeah.
They knew I was going to
leave.
No.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Okay. And you're all set.
Yeah, I took one because I. What happens
glad
once
there's another
say
program that's
doing
the angel
party
type
help.
Thing.
Yeah, I had no idea. You know,
awesome.
And
yeah.
That's good. I've known both of them. What's that? Gotcha. Alrighty. So.
So let me try to.
Yeah. Try to round up the troops.
Yeah.
How you been?
Kathy. All
right.
Everything good?
Kathy went back to the meeting.
Okay.
Pretty sure.
Oh,
okay.
That's where they went.
I spoke to the Usopus senior citizens today.
Oh, you did?
Okay. And because I tried to go in there with the attitude of, yes, I want you to know about our programs and what we do, but I want you to realize what we do for the community.
Yeah.
And you as the community, what you need to do for us.
Yeah.
You know, and you need to be donating to our loan closet the items that you get from insurance.
Sure.
You need to some of you step up and come and be a board member. Somebody approached me.
Really?
So now I'm waiting for a phone call.
You're looking to expand the board anyway. So.
Well, we need to get to a point where if somebody's absent, we have a
right, you need an alternative. Yeah.
You know, we really need to be about 12 to 15 people to be healthy.
Yeah.
We're at 8.
Yeah.
Can that go on our board on the website for boards on ours?
Yeah, you're not
for members?
Yeah.
They may be.
I
are you on the legislative page for? Well, we'll find out.
Yeah. If not, then
I
probably
didn't
something
do
you can
it,
say.
So I don't know about it.
Okay.
Well.
Are they coming? Not coming?
Kathy Nolan's talking business in Ways and Means. She's like.
Okay. But Laura.
Laura just left the
restaurant. Oh, okay. So. A little wait for Laura.
Yeah,
I already know what Anthony's gonna say.
I passed out all of his literature.
Yeah.
So I didn't bring everything, obviously, and then she didn't. She was getting nervous. I didn't even give her everything I brought
with
me.
Well, gave six different literature, and then we had this. I think
this is probably the perfect thing.
Perfect. So see, at the legislative page, it has.
I know. She better know.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can keep
the somebody else puts it on there. I never thought to do that.
I'll take this. and then I'll put it in. So
I just got
Kathy
put on
Deepin.
The.
Is Kathy Deepin?
She'll be here in a minute.
Okay. Thanks. As soon as we have one more legislator in the room.
So you all set for the holiday? That was Christmas party.
Yeah. It's the kind of thing that comes together the last 2 days.
But
up until then, you don't feel like you are.
Yeah, all day long, huh? The 12th, the 9th, something like that.
Well, that's the there's two. So there's the one that's RCAL and its consumers, which is at the agency, and
gotcha.
That goes noon to 2. And then the other one is at my home. And that one goes from 12 to 9, and that's for staff and other people of other agencies.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. And so it gives people flexibility and options.
Sure. A little mingling. So all right, very good. Well, I guess we'll get rolling. Should we wait for
I don't think Kathy's coming in.
She's not coming in.
She's back in my
okay, that's fine. All right.
Blue, I don't see her.
So, Anthony, you're on.
Hi, so my name is Anthony Mignon, and I'm the executive director of the Resource Center for Accessible Living, more affectionately known around Kingston as RCAL. And we've been here in Kingston now for 35 years. I haven't, but the agency has. And what we are is we are the Ulster County Independent Living Center. So independent living movement is that everybody deserves to live as independently as possible within the community. Now what that means is different things for different people. And sometimes to be able to live independently and not land up in an institution requires very little. Sometimes it requires an awful lot. Almost at all points, it's less expensive for people to live in the community and in their homes than in institutions. And so we have 14 main programs that we offer to Ulster County residents to help them in any way that we can. We are always willing to expand into new areas. We're always trying to find ways to see what the need is in the community. So we do support groups for anything that you can imagine, and they change a lot throughout the years. And if there's a support group that needs to be started, people come to us and say, we need space. And we provide them with the space, we provide them with the ability to be on our literature, and we help them in any way that we can. We recently, in the last 2 years, started as suicide survivors and an Alzheimer's support group. We have Parkinson's support, people with Parkinson's support group. We have limb loss support group. We've tried a couple times to have a low vision support group that doesn't seem to work out for some reason. We have something called hands-on communication, which is for individuals who are hard of hearing / deaf, depending upon who you're speaking about. And that's just one very small part of what we do. We have nursing home transition diversion programs, which helps people stay out of the nursing home or get out of the nursing home. And there's four interrelated pieces to that. I don't want to get into too much detail and bore the tar out of you. We have special education, which assists parents with getting their children the things that they need to be able to get the education that they will help their children get the education to further themselves. We have, I'm trying to look at this thing as we go. We do disability awareness education. We do architectural barrier removal, which means that if you are living in a home that is no longer suited for you based on your new world order that has occurred based on, we can help you modify your home.
I should turn mine off. Do you provide music?
actually, have you ever heard of Gilles Malpine?
Yes.
He is on our staff.
Oh, that's great.
So although it's not our main focus, we can provide music if necessary.
Do you sing?
I do, but people
okay.
leave when I do. we offer case management for all kinds of things, health homes and HGD, nursing home transition development, the persons with developmental disabilities. The health home is really the new big wave of things that's happening. And the big thing that I think I wanted to talk about today is our equipment loan closet. So our equipment loan closet is having its 30th year. We're actually running a promotion 30 for 30, trying to get people to give us $30 for our 30th year anniversary. And for our loan closet, what happens is if you are a person with insurance, who durable medical equipment is easy for you to get and cheap for you to get, when you have issues, we would hope that when you're done with them that you donate it to us. And then we turn around, and if you're a person who does not have good insurance, you can get equipment from us for a price that's actually almost ridiculous. So our prices are for a 3-month rental, and they start at $5, and they go all the way up to
$40. Wow.
Nice. So for $40, we're on the high end. We're talking about temporary ramps for your home at that point. Wheelchairs, as an example, are $25. Walkers are $5. And then if you tell us, oh, we don't have the funds, then we waive it. If at the end of the 3 months you still need it, we may find a way to let you keep it. We have all kinds of other equipment that comes and goes through, lift chairs, scooters, but they're not often or controllable. But we always have the standards. And we have taken that particular program and we're merging it in with our job services.
How many other organizations do you know that provide that service?
I'm so sorry.
The loan closet, the way that we do, I believe that we're the only ones in Ulster County.
That's a great idea.
You know, there are a few local loan closets that come out of fire departments and stuff.
And American Legion.
Limited. And they're much more limited in scope of the amount of items that they can provide. And a lot of the times we go back and forth with them. So if they can come to us and say, look, we've got no crutches. You know, we've got so many people bringing us stuff now that we can sometimes load them up. I understand that we did a promotion back when, what was the hurricane that destroyed Louisiana?
Katrina.
We actually got a donation from ShopRite to allow us to use one of their trucks, and we sent an 18-wheeler down with equipment at that point to that. So we can really move a lot of items. I believe we assisted something like 4,000 people last year right here in Ulster County with items, which is a large amount.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this crazy notion because we do employment services. So we do employment services as basic as, hey, you need help writing a resume, and you have a disability, and maybe you need a job coach, maybe you need job development, maybe you need us to help you get interviews, maybe you need help at the interview. Maybe you have absolutely no idea what the concept of working is, and you don't get that you have to get up in the morning and get dressed to go to work. And so those would be considered pre-vocational skills for the developmentally disabled, and everything in between. So I said, well, how are we going to get pre-vocational people to get experience in a job that is a store, front kind of environment? So we've been slowly fixing up a part of one of our buildings, and we're turning the loan closet into a storefront type of experience. So it's not changing what it does in any way, except now we have staff that's running it in a retail kind of a way. And we're slowly building an employment center off the back as we get a little money here and there. So we're trying to increase employment services to Ulster County for the people who are, people who have disabilities sometimes are harder to get employment.
Do you work with the disabilities staff over at the Office of Employment and Training, Troy?
We do.
Yeah.
So, and actually, I didn't realize how well we were working together. They just asked me to be on the Workforce Development Board. So, we have a relationship with the Office of Employment and Training. We have many contracts and a relationship with Access VR, which is Adult Continuing Cooperative Educational Services here in Ulster County, the Kingston office, and the Poughkeepsie office, actually. I've been on the Mid-Hudson Regional Alliance for Persons with Disabilities now for almost 15 years myself. And we also have a relationship with Office for Persons with Developmental Disabilities and have employment contracts with them as well.
So part of my question has been, I really love your programs and have sent people to you. So that's not at all an issue for me. The question I have is, about your overall budget and what you already are under contract with Ulster County for, if anything.
We have several question should I answer first? About $2.1 million is our overall budget.
Mm-hmm.
Most of that is fee for service. So where we contract with OPWD or Access VR, we actually have to do something specifically for a specific person as assigned to then be able to draw funds down.
Mm-hmm.
New York State has the independent living funds, which oddly enough through the years has now also landed up in the Access VR contract. It's a different contract, but it's the same agency through the Department of Ed. And they do what we call, they pay the lights. So we get about $320,000 a year from them that covers our physical space. That's our. If everything else goes wrong, at least we have a building and lights.
Lights and telephones.
Right, and probably three people sitting there. But so that's the basics. With Ulster County, at this time we have the representative payee contract. Whoops, that's another program we have. So we have the representative payee contract to service, and we have an architectural modification contract with the Office of the Aging. We've had other contracts in the past, but the Office of the Aging changed how they were doing the home-delivered meals.
Mm-hmm.
So we were doing the case management for that,
mm-hmm.
but now it's done in a different way, and we're no longer involved. We were involved when we got the balancing incentive plan funds through the Office of the Aging, and when the money was controlled by NYSOFA, which is New York State Office of the Aging, they gave the contracts to our Office for the Aging, and we were a subcontracted piece. When they turned around and they did it a different way, our OFA became a partner but wasn't able to control any of the money anymore, and we got pushed out by another independent living center. For the region, it became more regionalized, so we can no longer have that contract either. But we're always interested in being involved with the county in any way that we can.
And these employment services that you want to add, how are they different from what people would get through Office of Mental Health, Small Business Association, other places that provide jobs? Training and
so we actually already
counseling
mm-hmm.
of some sort.
We already have all of these programs. We're just going to be expanding them. And the Prevo program we've only had for about 2 years. The difference is specifically the SBA and Mental Health Association does not have the skilled or trained staff to work with persons with developmental disabilities.
This would be adults with
it depends.
Because if they're children, they would still qualify for those services through some of these organizations, I would think.
But yeah, sometimes. And so I'm saying yes because the yes is youth employment services.
Uh-huh.
And so we also offer them, so we work with that's high school age and college age people.
Uh-huh.
And the YES program comes through the Adult Continuing Cooperative Educational Services,
mm-hmm.
so they are not necessarily persons with developmental disabilities, though they could be,
mm-hmm.
but depending upon them, what would happen next would depend on where they went next. So we can then cross-refer into either programs that support persons with developmental disabilities, programs that support individuals with other types of disabilities. Because we have such a broad spectrum, we can help determine which way people need to go.
And is your service category such that if somebody came in without a disability, you would send them someplace else?
Yes.
Or
yes. If you do not have a disability at all, then we don't have a funding mechanism at this time for any services. And it's kind of not what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like one of the things that we've run into a couple times through the years is, you know, we try to be kind, and if we can help you and guide you, we're going to spend some time with you. We're not going to say get out, but we are less limited because we don't have a funding mechanism that would support it. Like if you are a person with a disability and you are also an impoverished person, then we can get you through the Medicaid system, the food stamp system, and all that. But if you just walk in off the street and you don't have a disability, we would feed you in a different direction.
And about how many, since the program is up and running, about how many people are you serving currently?
In the
in your
employment services?
Yes.
We probably have about 100, 125 people in different programs through at any given moment throughout the year. It bumps up a little bit in the summer because of the YES program, and then it goes back down to normal probably around November.
Does that also include when you go in and do some amendments to homes? Is 125 who you service on a regular basis? Or
I'm just talking about employment services.
Employment services, okay.
So
because that's what you're requesting funding for now.
Through this amendment,
Legislator Petit has brought. That's why I was focusing on that. If they're
so I've been trying to help the employment services get a little bit more set onto its feet. I have a really good team of people that if they could have a conference room and some computer system set up and be able to now offer Mavis speak and typing and class structures, and we have workshops that are set up that are approved already by Access VR through the new WIOA funding, that if we just had a little bit more of a professional space to work with, that they would be able to go a little bit further and get a little bit more accomplished. So we have this, we have space, it's just not ready. So I just applied for a grant through Ulster County Community Foundations, and they approved us that if we pay for half, they'll pay for half, and they're going to give us a second 16 by 20 shed, which is going to allow us to take the back storage of the loan closet out and put it in the shed, and now we have a building that is on the back end of the storefront that we created for the loan closet to be with this program. There's a back space that is already heated, already set up for phones, already set up for networking and computers. What it needs is a little bit of sheetrock. It needs us to be able to spend money on conference tables, and I have this really cool system that I bought for somewhere else that is 6-inch interlocking tables that becomes a conference table, or you break it apart and now it's a classroom, or you break it apart and now it's four workstations, and so it's a flexible space, and we would be able to put in, you know, a little bit of privacy area for people to have one-on-one counseling and do the computer stations and everything. So we're in the process of getting what we've broken up into what we call four phases, and so now we're at phase two to get this thing really starting to move.
And the budget for the employment services overall, you said $2.1 million
for the entire agency.
Yeah. Do you have a rough budget number for just that? Because I understand there might be some difficulty with the county funding that capital work for
so
reasons that I haven't yet even heard.
It's about $300,000.
Okay. And most of that is salary?
Most of it is salary. We, Office of Persons with Developmental Disabilities, requires us to do this thing, which is called the CFR, Certified Financial Report. We sometimes call it something else. So they require us to spread our costs amongst all programs. So within each individual program's budget, there is a piece of
maintenance, the administration,
right, the lights and all that, but the bulk of it would be salary, and that's actually now done by square foot. So we take the whole piece and we then reallocate it by square foot to each program. But the bulk is salaries.
Yeah, I got very good reports from a young person that I referred to you for the maintenance of his income coming in.
The representative.
Representative payee. Yeah.
That's
interestingly enough, I mean, it was a very small thing. I called, you know, through offices, and yours was one of three organizations that would do that in Ulster County. And the young man came back to me and said it really has changed everything for him.
That's wonderful to hear. It's really interesting because most people hate us.
As representative payees, they just don't like having a payee.
They don't want to have a payee. They're mandated by the Social Security or the county or the court or whatever, and they resent that we control their money.
Yeah.
So
the bills get paid.
Yes, and but you know, I mean, I try to look at it as if somebody took all the money out of my pocket and said, "I'm going to tell you exactly what you're allowed to spend it on," or here's $25 that's your you know, your personal needs allowance for the month. I'd cry, and I wouldn't like you much either. So it's
yeah, I considered it pretty amazing that he came back to me with that kind of report, but he did. So
well, we treat everybody with respect and with dignity and with the philosophy, which is that you're supposed to have as much control over your own life as we can possibly give you. We have limitations because of the laws of representative payee. We can't do certain things, but we do really, we want everybody to take some responsibility for themselves, and we try to give them the tools to do so. And we've had many people who, after working with them for about a year, they say, "We want to try this ourselves. You know what? We think you might be able to. Let's fill out the forms and go to Social Security and see what you think."
You've transitioned people more?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We have done that a few times. Not much.
Mm-hmm.
but yeah. So that program services about 200 people.
Incredible.
And let me tell you, that one's not a profitable thing.
Yeah.
So we're controlling their entire budget, and the maximum fee we can charge anybody is $42 a month.
Wow.
And that's a labor of love.
Yeah. And it's really nice, and I know this is going to sound funny, the county pays us less. If you're on the county contract, the county pays us less. But we prefer for the county, we'd rather get the less money because then it comes out of the county, not the individual, where if you're not on the county, then the individual pays. And $42 is 5% of your monthly check. It's not something we want to take away from somebody. You know, these people are only in, they're making, their income is $845 a month, most of them. So to take $42 away is like criminal. I don't know where you want me to go now.
You're welcome to say go through resolutions.
No,
I don't recommend it.
That's okay. Our board meetings are boring enough. So does anybody have any other questions for me, or did I not talk about something you wish I would have? You know, sometimes it's funny. We have so many programs, I begin to forget to mention some. So sometimes people then say, "Do you do this?" "Oh yes, we do." You know. So.
Very good.
Great. Well, thank you very
much
for your time. I'm actually call them tomorrow.
See if they'll do some programs for you.
I feel that, you know, she's talking about you come in and you say, "I need help." Well, then who's going to help you? You know, you have a disability if you have an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And how are you going to know? Don't you need Medicaid? And don't you need... So we can do benefits advisement for them and do a crush referral system. And that won't cost our agency anything.
You gotta have
like
more
that.
Public health and social service meetings.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes, same to you.
All righty.
Where are you, Nettie?
I guess we will move into resolution.
Save to that. Mm-hmm. How do I get into my OneDrive?
Oh, okay, so look for.
Is that you?
Yeah, that's it.
Right. We will move on. We'll start with Resolution 482, confirming the appointment of a member to the Ulster County Board of Health.
Second.
Yeah. Any discussion?
She's been on the board for a while?
She's a doctor.
So doctor,
okay.
It's very hard to find a position to serve on the board.
Yeah, okay.
It's an appointment, it's not a reappointment, right?
Because it doesn't say doctor, just say
we have a doctor that just turned out from the board, so we had to seek another doctor. It took a while, but we found someone. I think they're from Boise.
What is the term?
Yeah.
I think it's five or 6 years. I think.
Then can they come back around for
six? I think
they get. I think they can do two. I think. I'd have to check.
I think it's two.
I've looked at the charter in so long. You know,
we have a midwife from my district who would be good also, but she's not an MD.
Yeah.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Resolution 49, approving the execution of a contract, makes us $50,000 with Aster Services for children and family.
Okay. Second.
Yep.
This is perfect.
Have discussion?
No, it's a good program.
Great.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. 490, approving the execution of a contract, makes us $50,000. With Gateway Community Industries.
I would like to recuse myself from the discussion and the vote on the basis of family member.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Okay. Discussion?
It's another great program. Yeah. And I think this was just, there weren't any actual changes except for the percentages.
This is essentially state aid pass-through.
Okay.
They provide, you know, services, housing, and other support services for the various O agencies, OASIS, OPWD, et cetera.
Yeah, I did read this was for long-term bed.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Recuse.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to catch up. These contracts are long.
Yeah, I'll highlight the ones that I think you want to know about.
Okay,
so.
Thank you.
You can search for the number.
Can I search for the number on here? I'm still kind of getting acclimated to this.
Resolution 491.
Pick the one you want.
Approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 with People Inc.
I'll move it.
Second.
Discussion?
It's mostly housing. They do an interesting program where they do like bridging work and advocacy work in the psych ER, where they'll go in and work with families who've never dealt with that situation and provide respite. You know, if you've dealt with the psych ER and a kid, you're usually there for 24 hours. So they'll come in and, you know, make sure that mom can go home and, you know, watch her other kids and provide some assistance. It's a good organization.
Absolutely. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
492, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000. Mental Health Association.
I'll move it.
Second.
Discussion?
I can't read it though.
Oh.
Okay.
Keep it up, Laura?
No, not at all. No, I should probably just look at these, right?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. That would work.
Because I can't.
I only
caught up to ARC.
Just search for 492.
Search document 492.
Oops. Yeah. Click on this little magnifying glass over here, and then click in there, and then type 492.
Yep.
And then you just, it'll come up, and you click on it, and it'll give you the top page.
Okay. There we go. All right. Laura is caught up to everybody else. I'm always running in the back.
All right. Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Voteway 493. Approving the execution of the contract. Next up, $50,000.
Sign and pass at the same time.
With ARC.
I think you did this one.
I'll move it.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
494, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 with Family Services. Move it.
This is the funding for the Ulster Prevention Council. We're worried about.
This is out of
Poughkeepsie? No,
they're out of Aaron Court. Down
second.
Against
second.
Them.
Somebody second? You got a second? Second?
Yeah.
Second,
a
anyone?
Second?
I'll second.
All right. There you go. All right. All right. Discussion?
I may need to recuse myself on this too.
Okay.
Probably easiest just to do it. I think that they subcontract with Gateway for some of their services.
Ulster Prevention? Is this Prevention?
This is Ulster Prevention Council. I don't know that they have any relationship with Gateway.
Okay. Yeah. I got them mixed up then.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll vote.
This is 494, right?
Yep.
494. Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. 495, approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 with the family of Woodstock.
I'll move it.
I'll second. Sorry.
It's okay.
Discussion.
This is family of Woodstock. Okay.
And they, this seems to be the question.
This is mostly, this is mostly housing.
This is all housing.
Mostly support. Okay. I believe this is mostly supported housing.
So because it's housing, they don't have to be registered with OASIS as far as providing the drug and alcohol.
So this is provided supporting housing to people that are in recovery. It's not
okay.
Providing treatment.
Any housing specifically? Dormstad or family?
No, this is this would be like supported apartments, like you.
Okay.
Somebody's in an apartment and they need you know, one subsidy to live in the apartment, and people that can't live completely on their own,
mm-hmm.
and they get services and support to make sure they can live independently in their own home.
Okay, thank you.
And I have two questions that go to several of these potentially. A lot of these have listed as other as the mechanism. Is that because they're... Is the other usually the same thing? Or does it...
You're losing me. Other in what?
So... We have different mechanisms in the little ticket across that goes across the page,
mm-hmm.
and we have an RFQ, or sometimes we have professional. A lot of these
others, because they're directed by the state.
But that's what state
direction. This is the Ulster County. Here's $1 million for you to fund Gateway with.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And second question, I can't remember. Sorry, I didn't bring my notes on this. There were a couple of these that. Require the federal non-smoking provisions.
Mm-hmm.
Can we put on Ulster County's provisions?
We'd have to amend the law to do that. Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to talk to you about that.
I'm open to talking about it. I hadn't thought about it, but yeah.
That's always been a bone of contention with a lot of folks, but it seems like when they have an addiction, they need something. So the smoking and the coffee seem to. I mean, if that's the lesser of two evils. I know smoking's not
well,
great.
Well, we can maybe talk about it, because I believe that tobacco is a more addictive substance than many, and people who deal with their tobacco addiction may show improvements in their ability to handle other substances. Mm-hmm. I'll see if I can find some research on that to back up that.
So
claim.
I think, that, you know, I know that Kathy and Craig had mentioned you might want to do some specific up for the department in the coming year.
Yes.
That's a great conversation to have with the professionals at the department. So,
nice. Thank you. Those are general questions. Did I interrupt our discussion on that?
Yeah. So, but to the extent you see, you know, something that I'll call a pass-through contract.
Yes.
These are services that you know. So, through the mental hygiene law, the county is responsible for, you know, evaluating services, identifying need. Coordinating services and state dollars were basically a mechanism for state dollars to flow to specific providers to meet specific needs that are identified through the Community Services Board.
Great. That's very helpful. Thank you.
All right.
Which one are we
looking for? Yeah, 495. All in favor?
Aye.
That's not the Health Alliance, and that was still a family.
No, that's next.
496. Okay.
Yep.
496. Approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 with the Health Alliance Hospital.
I'll move it.
Second.
So the questions are, I'm assuming this is what we used to call the old Benedictine. I thought the psychiatric ward or area
Kingston
was
Hospital.
No longer functioning.
It's there. It's in Kingston Hospital.
It's at the Kingston Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they can hold people for 72 hours for evaluation and further.
It depends on what the circumstances are. This particular funding provides supports for people that are in that crisis situation.
Okay. That's good.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. 497. Approving the execution of contract in excess of $50,000 with, again, the Health Alliance Hospital.
I'll move it.
Second. This is a discussion that we have every year where there was a desire several years ago where the legislature adopted a policy where they wanted to make sure that any methadone services that we supported were 7 days a week.
Oh,
And if you go back to the Daily Freeman and do some searching, you'll find that your friend Mr. Fowler from the Sovereignty's area raised this area, and there was some reporting, and they'll see that we essentially there was confirmation that that the county legislature is not in a position to direct the programming at the Half Alliance with regard to methadone. It's very tightly controlled by the state. We do provide $100,000 subsidy to support the services. We don't provide more than that because the way that the system works is that the methadone program is supported regionally. Mm. So there, you know, any slots that we open up could be filled by residents from other counties almost instantly. So we provide a base support. It stems back from, you know, years ago the county provided had a competing methadone program. So when we stopped our methadone program, we provided subsidy to enhance the program at Health Alliance. And again, it's highly regulated. We don't have a lot of ability to direct, you know, the type of program, the timing of program, the number of days per program. There was an incident, it was before my tenure with the county, where a person that was receiving methadone services took an overnight dose. So basically someone who has been in recovery for a long period of time, that will give them a weekend dose because they're, you know, nearing the end of their treatment cycle. And this individual had provided that methadone to a young person, and there was a relation that was inappropriate, and I believe that the child died. And again, it was an anomaly, but again, that anomaly now turned into, well, it must be true in all cases, sure. And it perpetuated for years and years, but again, I'm very confident that we can't direct the services, and it was I guarantee this will be brought up at Ways and Means and will be asked. I think I'll print the article from 6 months ago. Remember
this. So with that, are they open 7 days?
They're
or are
not.
They still open 6 days?
So it's six, the goal here is to work with people and get them comfortable, you know, again, not being there every day. So it's like it steps them down over a period of time. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily appropriate for everybody to receive the methadone 7 days a week. Mm-hmm.
The waiting list is reduced?
It's much less. And mm-hmm. again, I don't think if any waiting list that exists right now, the length of time that you're on the waiting list is very, very reduced. We've worked very closely with the Health Alliance to identify state money to expand their capacity so they have more room and more treatment options. And then also we worked with them to... they used to have the state of New York, this is one of their failings with regard to combating opioids. The state capped the number of participants that could be in a methadone program. So we worked with the Health Alliance, so they now have they don't have a hard cap on the number they can serve. They can adjust the caseload based upon demand. So, you know, I'm not sure if there's any caseload today, but any caseload, the time that you're waiting is much shorter than it used to be. So
and this program is just methadone, but we have Suboxone, other agents like that are offered through Allenville, and so these are complementary programs.
So actually, I'm glad that you asked. So first of all, Suboxone is another great option for people that are trying to seek treatment for opioid addiction. We have limited providers that are able to prescribe Suboxone. So one of the initiatives that you will be approving as part of the adopted budget appropriate some state dollars that we've gotten to train more doctors in the availability of Suboxone. We think that's a good alternative. We've also built in the budget funding to do a intensive work in the jail. Where, you know, we've identified the jail as a concern. And the jail's been reluctant to explore, you know, medically assisted treatment like Suboxone. They believe it's contraband, and we've shown them that there's ways that you can institute a program where you don't have a lot of risk. For example, instead of a pill or an injection, they actually have a dissolvable tablet that you put under your tongue, and you make the inmate sit there for 10 minutes, and there's no chance that they could then not take it and give it to somebody else. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I just got an email today from the commissioner that there was actually came from the state, that there was a court case, I believe out of Massachusetts, where a jail was directed to have medically assisted treatment. It's the first time that we've seen some case law on that. So it's actually good. So again, we have some money in the budget. It's designed specifically for the jail, and we look forward to working with the jail administrators to get some big change going this year, and hopefully the new sheriff will be open to it. And then also the third... The third phase of the funding that we allocate in the budget deals with a kind of a prevention initiative. We worked really hard to get the state law changed with regard to the ability to drop off unused drugs at a pharmacy, a commercial pharmacy. Mm-hmm. So we'll be promoting that pretty heavily in the next year as well, too.
Mm-hmm. So as part of this program, I'm seeing it says including annual work reports, but is that the case-by-case... a plan that they put together, because it's always kind of irked me that, you know, they're on one drug, so we're providing another.
Well, methadone is
for
everybody.
But you know, is there also that mental health? It seems that we've kind of gone from mental health to physicians, and, you know, you walk into any physician's office and immediately they're trying to write prescriptions for all kinds of mind altering.
So the methadone program includes therapy.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
And there is
short answer.
There is good evidence that for many people, this medically supplied agent it is very helpful for restoring their lives first, but then also eventually becoming drug free. So the idea that you provide mental health, but you don't provide this. Pharmacologic assistance leaves you with a less powerful tool, and there's no morality for me, for somebody who gets addicted, having a product that satisfies that craving, allows them to work, to be in relationships, to take care of children, and eventually to become free of that agent
as
well.
As long as that's the end game.
Well,
yeah.
You know,
sometimes it's
I have treated lots of patients with diabetes, and they require insulin all their lives. And with the information that we've been gathering about tobacco smoking, if you start with an addictive agent, nicotine in that case, at an early age, you actually change brain chemistry in ways that you can document. So if somebody gets addicted, through fault or no fault, they may be in a situation where we need them to be productive citizens. This is much better, in my view, than having them addicted to something that currently is illegal and expensive and dangerous. And it's like when we had HIV epidemic, you know, clean needles prevent people from passing their HIV, you know, from getting infected and then passing it on to their kids. So though we might not like the activity, we can make the activity safer, and then we've treated that patient, but we also treat a lot of people beyond them. And with methadone and suboxone, you have people who are able to basically enter their lives again. Then they're not requiring the hospitalizations, they're not requiring the Narcan and emergencies, you know, all of those expenses to society. Not to mention the their interpersonal and their personal.
I think that can happen,
benefit.
But I personally know people that the Suboxone just became the new illegal thing that they were really bad with.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
me, it's a transitional,
mm-hmm.
a transitional
mm-hmm.
tool.
Mm-hmm.
And you're always going to have people that are going to misuse medication.
Yeah,
or
the studies
medication
that
anyway,
I've seen
so.
Show with Suboxone maybe 60-70%. Transitioning into a different type of lifestyle. So you're right, that does leave a 30%. Maybe we need to identify them and work on what they need to break that cycle. These programs, I think, are critical, and there's research that shows that it's not just a short-term solution. It may be, you know, for many people, can be a longer-term. Yeah, at least some.
For
but
some,
I think
yeah.
Some
potentially many.
You know, lifetime maintenance on it.
And, you know, some of this conversation, I think, needs to be somehow incorporated into our prevention educational activities, because we now know that the brain changes with the addiction, especially at an early age. It's really incumbent on us to help protect people from that.
Because you could be creating generations, correct? I mean, if you have a child born whose mother's taking methadone, then they go into withdrawal. After she gives birth.
If you don't treat them well,
yeah.
They do.
So.
You can treat the newborns and get them through that period, and then they don't have a higher incidence of addiction.
They don't. Oh, good. That's good to hear.
Not even genetically? Besides the...
Well...
I'll go back and see if there's anything new on this, but from my training from many years ago,
yeah.
the kids did not show effects, did not show need for prevention services in early childhood or during school age. Maybe those studies weren't long enough for me to make
or
that claim
looking
as strongly
for certain,
as I did.
But they might have not been looking for
and they
certain
didn't, they weren't
things.
Looking for the genetics at
yeah.
that point.
Yeah.
Right, because we have people can have inherent predisposition to addiction anyway, so...
I think that's exactly true.
And
yeah.
If it's as a result of, their parents are in utero being exposed to that, then I would think that, I don't know the research, but it would probably put them at higher risk. Maybe not.
Yeah, we could get somebody who really knows to come in and talk about it, or I could look it up.
Right.
Or both.
Yeah. Right.
I'd love to keep this an open conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. 498, approving execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 with Family Services.
This is a contract that Dr. Smith previewed when she was here during
oh,
sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, second.
So this is a contract that Dr. Smith previewed that would be coming when she was here to talk about the budget with you all a month ago. Family Services is the parent organization for a group called Hudson Valley Mental Health. They recently reincorporated into one big behemoth instead of separate organizations. Back in 2013, we developed a kind of a unique public-private partnership with Hudson Valley Mental Health to manage our adult Article 31 licensed mental health clinics. And at the time, if you all recall, we were hemorrhaging state aid and we couldn't find any stability in our mental health clinics. And we needed to find some stability and also figure out a way that we can make investments. At the time, we didn't have an appropriate electronic medical record. We had policies and procedures, through our employee base, which is essentially a CSCA contract that applies to a highway worker as it would as a clinician in the mental health clinic. So it was hard to navigate. So we developed a unique partnership where we attracted this organization to move from Dutchess County into Ulster County. We surrendered our adult operating certificate to operate an adult mental health clinic. They picked up that license. For a not-for-profit to operate a mental health clinic, it generally requires very large subsidy. And at the time, we were trying to figure out a way to structure something that would be sustainable and work over a long period of time. So, and this was something that I spent a lot of time on. And instead of providing financial subsidy to Hudson Valley Mental Health, we provide staffing. So we designated 19 professional staff people that work in this clinic. These are not the people that provide billing or reception. These are people that provide therapy. They're prescribers. They're either nurse practitioners or licensed psychiatrists. And essentially, if you read the contract closely, what it basically tells you is that the county is going to provide, we're going to make sure that we have 19 clinicians running our adult clinic. To the extent the county provides a clinician, they're just going to work there. To the extent a county employee leaves county service, they retire, or they move to another job, or they enter another field, we then have a mechanism for the not-for-profit to hire the replacement at a lower expense. I know you look at salaries and benefits, you'll see that our salary scale is much higher than the private providers. Also, we have a fringe rate that's 60%, whereas the private provider has a fringe rate that's half of that. So that's really the expense. So we believe that we created something that's been sustainable, and we're looking to enter into that contract again for another 5 years. I did produce for you a one-pager that kind of summarized what we've achieved over the first 5 years of the contract. We've seen a 31% increase in our census since we took over. The commissioner and her staff review on a monthly basis the statistics from the operation. We know the services are good. We know the quality is there. We hear a lot of complaints. They privatized the mental health services, and that's really bad. The truth is, if that's the case, it's the same exact
professionals. It's the same doctor, it's the same clinician. So if the services are good before, they would be the same because it's the same exact people. What's changed is they were able to bring modern clinic practice where they were able to invest in an electronic medical record and bring theirs here, but we had none. That we have before, if someone was in crisis in the ER and they wanted to come to our clinics, there would be a 3-week wait to get your first intake appointment. The way that these clinics are structured today is that if I go to the ER or I have a crisis, I can call, they'll intake me that day during the normal business hours. You know, so again, so it's we were able to bring a lot of the modern practice into the clinics because we can't we out of our ability not to operate it like a private enterprise. But so again, I think we struck the right balance. We know the services is good, and we know that quite frankly, they've been expanding hours in New Paltz and also in Ellenville, and they may even do more in New Paltz recently. Since the census is up, we know that 19 is we need more professional staff than 19. So you'll see in the contract that negotiated that they will hire up to hire at their expense up to 2 additional clinicians this year. So they're going to hire one right away, and then we agreed we'd evaluate it halfway through the year to see if it warrants a second. So when I've got through this negotiation, I got them to pay for that fully. So it's good. So again, we're happy with it, and again, it's a again. In fact, it's something that I'm extremely proud of, and I think it's worked out really well for the county. And again, it's important for us to continue it for another 5 years.
And so they could just walk in. So it's similar to the Kingston Hospital, but they could walk into a type of clinic where they could actually sit and talk to somebody rather than walking in to be evaluated.
Yeah. So like right. So if I'm either been identified and needing these type of therapeutic services, or I feel like I need, I can literally walk in. And okay. If there's not a clinician available to see me, a supervisor will sit and intake you, and then okay. and then develop intake you into the system and develop set your next appointment. Versus our old way of doing business was come see us in 2.5 weeks. Yeah. We also had a lot of problems because we didn't have a system to remind people to come to their appointments like a modern mm-hmm. doctor's office has, right? So we literally would have staff sitting around all day long with no appointments because nobody was showing up for their appointments. Mm-hmm. So by bringing in a not-for-profit that does this extremely well, they're calling and emailing and reminding people to come to their appointments, and so we have a lot less missed appointments, and it's a lot more efficient than it used to be. And also, you'll see there's a note here. We've just gotten approval to expand telepsychiatry, which is going to be critical for us. And we have 2 staff psychiatrists that do a great job. Again, it's tough. Like, we're very, very lucky to have staff psychiatrists. In fact, when the time comes, I may even advocate to continue them on as county employees, because not only do they provide prescribing services in the clinics, they also do all of our AOT work and other work through our county attorney's office. Mm-hmm. And we have to evaluate people for supervision through the court system. So again, it's something that again I think it's worked out extremely well, and we're looking to continue it. We've built a good relationship with this organization.
For the purposes of the term, I think this is one I was concerned that I might need to recuse on. Do you know if Family Services provides the psychiatric staffing at Pine Grove?
No, that's a state facility.
Okay. Great, because I'd love to vote for this.
No, Pine Grove is a state-operated facility.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right.
Good deals.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Where is this one located?
Golden Hill. They're also in the Gateway Building in New Paltz, and you just approved the lease for that last month.
Okay.
Or excuse me, in the Trudy Farber Resnick, you just approved that lease last month.
Yep.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Good.
And again, depending on what happens with the expansion of the Health Alliance, it wouldn't surprise me if these clinics didn't make it into the Medical Village.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. That would be in downtown Kingston eventually.
Alrighty.
That's how I know
it is.
Yeah.
$499. So approving the execution of a contract, Nexus $50,000 with Access.
I'll move it. Second.
I know this is getting late, but this is probably my favorite service that I was able to successfully bring to the county since my tenure here. And this, we have teams of clinicians that will respond in a crisis situation, either with law enforcement or if anybody just calls, you know, my kid is locked in the bathroom and I'm afraid they're going to hurt themselves. Mm-hmm. We literally have clinicians that will show up and de-escalate the situation and make those connections so you don't have to have your kid in the psychiatric ER or your family member. And again, why the state funds us, because we can successfully show that we divert 70 to 80 people out of the psychiatric ER a month to this service.
Yeah, they bring them right to the ER or something.
Yeah, so they operate out of Ellenville and out of Kingston, and we have county coverage.
Is this the same as the mobile mental
this
health?
This is the mobile mental health. Yeah.
So is it 24/7?
It's not 24/7. So it operates till about 11 o'clock at night.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's like from. And actually, I'm still working on this. I was able to obtain some money through a member of the state legislature, not one of ours, believe it or not, to expand. I mean, it's important that you have people on. These clinicians are available when school administrators start dealing with kids at 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. So right now they start at like 10 o'clock and they go to about 11 o'clock at night. We base it on the data. So the hour, like, you know, we would seek the state money to do 24 hours a day. Some counties have 24 hours a day. We can't justify the calls. Like the calls come between, you know, 8 and 9. Like you can regulate, it's 7 days a week. But
right.
It's not 24 hours.
Yeah. Okay.
No. But again, we think we have the right mix right now. Again, we may have to, you know, scramble and find some filler. Some of this, I mentioned we found some additional state money to open a little earlier. That money's drying up, so I'm kind of working through some, you know, cajoling and screaming and yelling at the regional office.
Should put
to
an
find
amendment
that money
in for that, then. I don't mind amendments for programs.
Well, yeah. I'm going to find that money through the state.
Okay.
Yeah. Are the police departments and stuff aware of this, too?
Chief Sinagra is my favorite customer.
Yeah.
There's no recent situation that I don't think the family was aware of that option.
The police use them all the time, and in fact, I know that many, and we also, through this, we do a lot of training. We've trained most of the officers in the whole county on how you deal with a mental health situation, and they know to call.
So if the dispatch officer gets this call, they can call this team?
911 knows to call the team, like they, you know, it's really? To support, yeah, because you want people to deal with these clinicians instead of people with guns.
Yep.
In fact, one of the local rabbis came to see me. Was during one of the high holidays, and he couldn't use his phone, so he came to my office. It's like, I got this lady sitting on my back porch; she won't leave. And the police came, and they took her, but she came back, and I was able to get this team over there and get her some help. So they do a great job. And I know I left the legislator a stack of cards with the numbers on it. It's important to put out there. So.
Yeah, the state provided what, like $250,000 originally. Is that when you got it?
This is like an $800,000-$900,000 contract.
It is.
There was an additional $200,000.
Yeah, I thought it was a couple years ago. Yeah,
so that money's drying up. So I'm just
Definitely. Considering the services that they provide, you would think that.
And we're going through right now. There was actually some discussion that it might be more appropriate to base them out of SUNY New Paltz rather than the Judy Farber Center, based upon where the calls are coming from. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that's nice, it's organic, it's fluid. I think the service ranks very highly. The provider, they don't do a lot of work in Ulster County, but they're the largest human services provider in the Hudson Valley. They're very well regarded. They do most of the clinical work in Orange County, and they do good. They also operate the service for Orange County as well too. So,
cool. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. 500. Approving the execution of a contract. Next is 50,000. With family services.
This is the contract to fund our family advocate.
I move it.
Sorry. I'm sorry, jump ahead.
Ken wants to get out of here.
This is 100% county money.
This is
used
night fishing.
No, I think we're to bed. We'd have dinner first. This is the 100% county money that we use to fund a family advocate. It's an ombudsman that works with families that are dealing with the opioid crisis. Most counties don't have one. They wished they had one. In fact, I chuckle, the state now funds these in other places, and because we've stepped up and funded it, they're not interested in funding ours. Tends to go that way. We jump ahead and start funding a service, and everyone thinks it's a great idea, and the state provides funding. You know, so again, we had good result with it, and the interventions have been good, and they not only provide support and ombudsman work for individuals, they also do group work as well, too, especially for a lot of families that are, you know, my God, my child is a heroin addict. What do I do? Sure. Like, I don't know how the system works. And they do a lot of that navigation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's worked out really well.
That's good stuff. Yeah. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. 506, and approving the execution of a contract in excess of $50,000 with rehabilitation support services.
I'll move it.
Second.
Question?
This is 42 supported housing slots for people with a severe and persistent mental illness.
It's all state and federal money.
Yep.
When are we going to be going out to rebid for this? Because I
so this is not
qualifications of these folks are
actually
all over the place.
No, actually the group is they've done this work for about 20 years. This particular work, we did check their credentialing with OASIS and OMH. there's no indication that the services are nothing less than the good quality services. In this particular instance, you know, it's a large organization, and they have, you know, depending on the service area, there's been some issues that I've dealt with in the past. But in this particular category, again, we've talked with OASIS and OMH, and it's their choice to direct this funding through. And I know that I know the controversy with this organization in some parts of the county, but I'm, you know, we also have to balance the fact that we have 42 people that, you know, we can't make homeless.
Right. Absolutely.
So we don't bid them.
You don't. Okay. Do you get any complaints about Able House? This Paris House was closed. No.
I haven't heard anything. Yeah. I've had people wanting to get into it.
Yeah.
It's a good sign.
Yeah.
All right. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I'm a no. I'm a no.
New business, old business. Hearing none.
In the new year, I'd like to take a tour over at the
absolutely. Yeah.
Where are we going?
Over the Department of Mental Health.
You know, I'd like to figure that out too, because I'd like you to, you know. Remember, it's health and mental health. There's a lot of really interesting things happening there.
Yeah.
I know the last time I tried that, Craig, Carl showed up with his friends from the Brain Injury Center and they stole the whole movie.
Right. Right. Yep. No, I remember that.
We
returned.
That
was Carl.
We promised to come with no agenda.
Are we interested in the future?
Not yet.
Restorative justice program with the mental health.
Adjourn.
So
motion to adjourn.
Every